Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Terry. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org. Not a lot of people get to minister at their home. When we first started, I don't know if Pastor Dodd remembers this, but when we first came here, we came from Cornerstone Worship Center, where we were youth pastors, our first time ever being youth pastors. We felt the call of God to come here, and we thought God's going to bring us to Bedford First Assembly for 2 years to learn under Pastor Dodd and Pastor Chris Stubbs. 2 years turned into 13 years. We started just as volunteers. We thought, God, you're gonna bring us here and get us ready for what you have next. That's what we thought. 2 years. Obviously, we didn't learn fast enough because it took 13. But we started as volunteers, and God just kept on opening up door after door after door, and we are so very thankful that we've had 13 years at home. But we're also unbelievably excited for what God has for us next. Because you all will be, as I said last week, you all will be a part of that. How you've poured into us and you've walked with us through our mistakes and loved on us and helped us grow. The best is yet ahead. We truly, for both places. I believe it. Firmly believe it, that God is not done being God, and God is not done going after the lost in Bedford. God is not done doing what God does. COVID didn't stop it. An election won't stop it. Us leaving is not going to stop it. God is not done doing miraculous and unbelievable things here, and God has taken us to another place for us to see God do miraculous things there. This is God's hand. I know Pastor Bill said last week, that him and Pastor Don Gifford pushed. But can I tell you, it wasn't really a push. It was encouragement. Hey, Steve, I see potential in you. Let me just encourage you that these are the steps to get you ready for what God has next. This is God's timing, God's hand. And I thank the Lord so much that God saw it fitting to say, Stephen, Heather, and family, let me now put you somewhere else where you can grow and where you can be used more and where you can impact a city. That's awesome. This church has been so fantastic of helping train pastors and sending them all over the world. Do you realize that? This church has been great at it, and it will continue to be great at it. So I just want to say, thank you so much for the opportunity for 13 years here. And although I have, a couple weeks left, I am savoring every single minute I have left to walk through this church and walk down the halls and say hello and goodbye. But man, it's been tremendous. Again, thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for encouraging us, standing with us. Thank you, Board, for... There's been so many opportunities. You've had the opportunity to kick me out. Pastor's had the opportunity. He hasn't. He's never done it. I don't know why. But again, thank you. And I thought it would be fitting today to kind of end where I began. I debated on this, wrestling with it. Felt like God gave it to me a long time ago. But then, as I always do, I always doubt myself. That's almost the exact a message that I'm on that I'm going to be sharing. And so, it just so happened I was, God, should I share this? If you've ever been in youth ministry with me, you're going to know the verse that I share today. And so, I was just debating, hey, God, give me something fresh. And then, God knows what He's doing. Pastor Bill came into my office and said, Steve, let me encourage you again. Share from your heart, and it's okay to preach on a verse or something that you've shared before. I'm like, God knows what He's doing. And one of the biggest things for me in ministry, starting as volunteers here, right? We just came to work. I remember my first night back there in youth, Chris Stubbs had like 200 kids. I'm like, oh, my Lanta. What did I just come here for? And this is always the prayer. God, I don't want to mess this up. Why send me here, God? I'm inadequate to do this work. Over and over and over. I remember the conversation with Pastor Terry when he said, Steve, you know, we want you to come on part-time as the worship pastor. I've dreamed for just getting paid for any kind of ministry at any time ever. I'm like, yes, I will, no doubt. Donna, I don't even have to pray about it. Same thing. Lord, I don't want to mess this up. I am inadequate to do this. I'm not ready. And I remember the lunch that we had at Steak and Shake when it said, Steve, I think, when Pastor Terry said, Steve, I think you should be the youth pastor as well. We want to bring you on full time. We've dreamed for that for years. I said, yes, don't even have to think about it. Don't have to pray about it. We're going to do it. We can't wait. We're so excited. A week later, Lord, I don't want to mess this up. I feel inadequate to do this. Pastor Bill comes and says, we want to, you know, for you guys to stay. A senior pastor doesn't have to do that. But he did. So we got to continue on doing that. Then he said, Steve, you know, why don't you think about being the assistant pastor and the associate pastor, you know, ministering to adults would be great for your growth. Yes, don't even think about it. That's what's next. Hallelujah. We're going to do it. Associate pastors and worship week later. Scared to death. I'm inadequate. Can't do it. We dreamed for a long time to be senior pastors. That's what was next. In fact, we thought at the age of 40, that was our goal. At the age of 40, we would be senior pastors. Not God's timing. But now that we're there, can I tell you, there's moments when I say, oh my, I'm so excited, but I don't want to mess this up. I'm inadequate. I'm scared. But there's a verse over and over and over that God brings up to me. It's my life verse. I feel like it's fitting today because I know there's so many people in this room that when God starts to move in you, when God starts to do something in your life, when God sets something in front of you that is bigger than yourself, that the tendency to say is, I'm inadequate, I can't do it, I don't have what it takes, I'm scared to death. But let me tell you what, God is in the business of doing the extraordinary in the ordinary people. It's true. Over and over and over. And so he shared with me a verse that I have over and over and over read. It's John 14:12. If you can, Versi, is that you up there? Hi, Versi. Good to see you this morning. This is the title of this message. But here's the thing about this verse. And let me just go ahead and read it. John 14:12 says, and you got to know, I see Cash Flow here. That's, if you don't know, that's his name. It's not Brandon Harold's Cash Flow. Ask him that story. It's great. He's probably heard this verse a billion times. But Jesus is speaking. This is the final meal with his disciples. And can you just imagine him telling them over and over, I'm about to leave you. I'm about to lay my life down. I'm about to go be with the Father. And here they have been following him for 3 years, trying to do exactly what they can do to become just like him, seeing him do all these things. And so can you just imagine the apprehension and the doubt that he's sitting down with them? This is our last meal. I've told you this. You probably don't believe it. Do you think that there were some doubts that crept in their mind of what in the world are we going to do? Do you think they might have said, wait a second, we are inadequate. We can't do it. I think that was probably in that room. But yet, hear the powerful words of Jesus in John 14, 12. This is what he says. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. I love this verse. Loved it all my life. We'll preach it as God moves us forward. But let me tell you what. This gives us permission to do things greater than ourselves. It does. He's looking at a whole group. Doubts, worries, inadequacies. They think that they're weak. They don't have, whatever it is that's in their brain. But here's Jesus saying, I very truly tell you this day while I sit with you, right? This is what he's saying. Whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. But it doesn't stop there. That would be enough. If someone just tell me, you can do what Jesus did, that would be enough for me. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. He's saying, I'm going to leave you and the job that I'm doing is not done. What I have done, what you've seen me do, it's not done. It's going to continue on. And even greater things than this is going to happen. Man alive, that gives us permission to do unbelievable, miraculous things for God. Every time I have a doubt, I come back to this verse. Because it's a reminder to me, I envision myself sitting at that table as he is reclining back and him looking straight at me saying, you can do what I have done. Just believe it. Believe it. So today I'm going to just have a couple of points, but if there's one thing I can share as my last time on a Sunday morning is this, believe in even greater things. Because here's what, we can read this verse over and over and over. And we can even put it in our brains and we can memorize it. But there's a difference between intellectual assent and firm belief. I can understand every word in that sentence. And I can believe that Jesus said it. But there's a difference when I believe that truth is for me. Because guess what? Belief impacts behavior. Belief has always and will forever impact how you walk out this faith in this world. So now picture these words of Jesus here. Any step in ministry or in life is hard to take without a proper belief, not only in who God is, but here's the part, but what he can do through you. Believe it. So there's a couple points here. I don't even know if I'll get to all my slides, Versi, so God bless you for your work today. Because who knows where this is going to go. There's just two lines that I want to impart to you this morning. The first one is this. Those who remember this picture, you're going to see some weird, some funny pictures through this. Just, I'm not going to let you know. You can laugh at them. Here's the first thing. There are greater things you can do more than you think you can. All right, there are greater things. I will explain. Nobody's going to pay words because they're going to think, what in the world are those four people doing? I'll explain it here in just a second. But there's greater things you can do more than what you think you can do. Right? But that's why it says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me. Can I tell you, those people in the room that morning, they were the whoevers. The 12 that were following them weren't the best of the best. They weren't the cream of the crop. They weren't the ones that were first in their class. Or do you understand that? If you look at it historically, if you looked at how Jewish education is done, if you are a fisherman, at one point in time, you were told to go home. From a rabbi, you were told to go home and learn your family business. They would say, you've advanced as much as you can. You are not good enough to move forward. And guess what? You can go home and learn your business. There were fishermen there at that table with him. These are the not so good enoughs. The ones who were told, you could just go home and learn, you know, you can't excel anymore. You're just kind of average. You're just kind of ordinary. Go home and be a fisherman because you really can't do anything else. But yet Jesus does an unbelievable job of inviting the not so good enoughs to do unbelievable things. That's what he did, didn't he? He came up to him and he said, follow me and I will what? I will make you fishers of men. That was an invitation. You did fish for fish, but I'm going to give you something bigger. It's going to be beyond you. It's going to be more than you. You're going to think, I cannot do this all by myself, but I'm going to call you to do it. So there was fishermen at that table, the not so good enoughs. But there's more. There's also tax collectors at that table. Just think about it historically. Tax collectors were some of the most hated. It was the most hated profession in Israel at that time. Just imagine what that could be right now. Politician, IRS agent, census person. These were the not so well liked. Right? So much so that when Jesus called Matthew and Matthew came and he reclined at a table with Matthew and ate with Matthew, who got mad? The Pharisees. Why in the world, Jesus, if you are such a great rabbi, why in the world would you sit down with the traitors of Israel, with the ones who steal from God's people all the time? They make money and steal from God's people. Why would you ever, right? That they asked him, why would you ever do that? But God is in the business of calling the not so well liked to do unbelievable things. Your past does not necessarily have to define your future. See, and here's the other thing that you have to understand. Anyone, according to this verse, can do great things. Anyone. I was a part of an amazing team of people. Well, first, let me just tell you, this was a night, and I had to show this one because I think it's epic. Or you spit it on TV. That's Ken. Let me see if I can point at him. That's Ken Hurst right here. Matt Todd right there. Matt, where's he at? This is your best shot, buddy. April Peters. And this handsome man right there is Shannon Hiles with floppy. If you could really see it in HD, floppy fake hair. This was a night called Ask the Sage. Can I tell you what? I had some amazing people. Here's a really good shot of a bunch of them. I had an amazing team of people that I could work with for years doing youth ministry. And to a T, I guarantee if you sat down with them and I would ask them, do you feel like you're good enough, able enough to actually impact any student in any time, that at one point in time they might have sat down with you and said, no, I don't feel like I can do this. It's beyond me, but I can't. But I can tell you what, so many times in 6 years of being the youth pastor here, I saw each and every one of those people impact a student for the rest of their life. Anyone can do great things. Anyone. And so, or you could ask this morning, what kind of great things, right? Jesus says, well, he said the works that I do. Think of that phrase. Very truly, I tell you, whoever, raise your hand if you are a whoever. You have permission to believe that this verse is for you this morning. Whoever believes in me, the works that I do. We can just go through, right? We can go through and see what does the works that Jesus has done in the Gospels. Have you read the Gospels lately? He does a lot of really cool stuff. Right? I mean, let's just go through some of his unbelievable. He healed the sick, right? In the gospel accounts, he healed the sick. 18 different accounts in the gospel that somebody with an ailment or a sickness, whether they have been suffering for years or a short term, they came to him and he healed them. That's amazing. Do you ever read that like it's actually true? He cast out evil spirits. 5 different accounts in the gospels, right? So, or somebody would come that was demon-possessed. He had the power and the authority in Jesus' name, get out, and it was gone. They were free. That's unbelievable, right? Have you ever read that like it was true? He raised the dead 4 different times in the accounts, in the stories. Oh my! Have you ever read that like it was true? More than that, he defied physics and nature, turning water into wine, or walking on water, feeding thousands and thousands of people with very, very, very little, controlling nature, telling the winds and the waves to stop whenever he wanted. Unbelievable! But have you ever read that like it was true? But we know this, according to John 21 and 25, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, this is what John says, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. We just get a sample of what occurred in those three years. So now, go back to this verse. Very truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, you can do. And have we ever read that verse like it was actually real? Anyone can do greater things. Anyone. Each and every one of these miraculous things, they led people to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone. And so you say, but, you know, Steve, will I be used in every single way like Jesus? I don't know. But I can tell you this based off this verse. If you give yourself fully to God, there are unbelievable, miraculous things He can use you for to bring other people to faith in Him. I've seen it over and over and over. It really had nothing to even do with me. Where am I at? Here's the kicker. He says what? Whoever believes. That's the conditional statement. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes. The difference between those who do and those who don't is belief. So whether you read Scripture, put yourself in Scripture, and think this is actually for me right now with what I'm going through in this moment with the people around me. The difference between those who do and those who don't is the belief that God can use them to do the things that is beyond them. So when people won't get out of the boat, they won't go through the open door, they won't say yes to an opening in some part of the church because, one, they think, I don't have it. I am inadequate. God wouldn't call such as me. But He does. He needs people such as you to do what He needs to do. Belief. There's a great quote by pastor and author Greg Groeschel that says this, and it's great. He says, as you'll recall, what you believe about who you are and who God is determines how you behave. Let me read that first line again. As you'll recall, what you believe about who you are and who God is determines how you behave. If you believe everybody is going to criticize you, you'll behave cautiously. If you believe you're probably going to fail, you're going to venture out tentatively. If, however, you believe that the one true Lord God is calling you, empowering you, leading you, and equipping you, then you will live boldly. Why? And I love this phrase. Because boldness is behavior born of belief. Boldness is behavior born of belief. Whoever believes in me, the works that I do, you can do. Believe. You are not going out of this church ever being a nobody, being an anybody, being a whoever. If you are a child of God, He has called you, saved you, purposed you to be somebody, to someone, at some time, at some place. You're going to have to walk in faith and believe that it's for you. What is keeping you from greater things is not God. It's what you believe He can do through you. There's a second one here. He goes on, he says this, there are even greater things we can do, more than what we think we can. Notice the shift there, right? There are greater things you can do. But guess what? There's even greater things we can do, more than what we think as a church that we can. This is how he says it. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm... And they will do... Right? Say it. They. Now say we. Say me. I would try to say something else that rhymed, but it's, you know, it just wouldn't work. The church. Even greater things are gonna come from the church. He was looking at these 12, and I'm sure they were scared of thinking, how is this gonna continue? You're gonna give your life, you're gonna die. How is this movement going to continue? And he's looking at them. See everything I did? You can do that. But then stop there. And even greater things, because you all are going to be doing it together. I always ask myself when I first started to study this verse, what is the even greater things? Right? I mean, what's more miraculous than raising somebody from the dead? I just want to do it one time. Just once. And take me home. I want to walk on water. One time. Even if it's in the bathtub. All by myself. With my phone recording it so I can have proof that it happened. Just one time. What's more miraculous than that? But yeah, here he is saying, see everything I've done? That's great. But even greater things you can do. And I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be gone. The even greater things come when more than one person in a church is on mission. Let that sink in. The greater things, the even greater things are going to come when more than one person in this place is going to be on mission for God. That's what he's saying. And go into Book of Acts, and you can see this play out. I encourage you, read it in depth, looking for these men who were on mission, who believe what he said. There's Peter. Peter's on mission. What did he do? He preached a powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost. And what happened? Hello? One person got saved that day. Let me just read you the verse. Acts 2. It says, those who embraced his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the believers that day. And even greater things they will do because I am going to the Father. Go a little bit further in that chapter and you see the early church on display in its beauty, how it's supposed to work. And what do you see in Acts 2, 42 through 47? You see the church devoted to teaching. Oh, hallelujah. And to the church, and to the fellowship. It says everybody was filled with awe because of the miraculous signs that they were seeing on a daily basis. All of the believers, and this is amazing, all the believers were together. Stupid COVID. All of the believers were united, were unified. I can almost guarantee sometimes they didn't agree with each other. But they were together on mission. You can go on and read that. Unbelievable. Giving to anyone who had need. I mean, that should get so funny when you start talking about giving to people who have need. Everybody's like, oh. Move on, Steve. Worshiping God. And what happened? What was the result of the church being the church? Let me just read to you. Verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Jesus is looking at the 12. It's like even greater things you're going to do, because it's just not me doing it. It's you 12 being on mission, working together. And those 12 are going to find another 12, and those 12 are going to find another 12. And that's how an unbelievable move of God happens in thousands and millions, billions of people around the world know Jesus. Because it's still going on. That is the even greater thing. And I don't care how messed up 2020 has been, God is still in the business of doing even greater things. The mission's still there. He just needs the people to say, I'm on mission. There is nothing... Oh, I'm really behind. There's nothing we can't do when we decide to do this together. Nothing. I've seen this firsthand. I have this awesome... I couldn't find a picture of... I don't know why, babe. I did a horrible job. I don't have a lot of pictures of the full worship team together in my last 13 years here. So these are just some glimpses. But I've seen this firsthand of what happens when a group of people get together on mission, committed toward each other and toward the church. This is probably one of my favorite views of all time. Timmy took this one. He's the author of this. This is a great shot. Every morning, if you were up there seeing these unbelievable people on stage prepping for what God has that morning. I was reminded of this. One of our goals here, and Alita can tell you, because this is one of the things I always want to do, is I just didn't want to do a live worship CD like they did a lot when Pastor Doc was here. I want to do a live worship CD of original songs written for this church at that time. That was one of the things I always want to do, and we did that. One of my favorite things. And the other day, I got a notification that these songs are still being downloaded the world over. I forgot. But it's out there. And it takes a letter coming to me in my email to say, so-and-so in Africa downloaded this song written by Alita Taylor. Who knows how they even got there? Because there's so much worship music out there in this world. How in the world? I'd love to hear that story, how that person found that song at that time, downloaded and bought that song for whatever that they were going through, to find peace and to have their faith and their praise lifted up. I have no idea. I'd love to hear that story, but maybe I'll get to in heaven. But it was a reminder of what God can still do when a group of people get together and stay on mission. That is when the even greater things happen. Even greater things. And there's another thing about this too. It's even greater because of the Holy Spirit. What was one of the things that He promised would come when He left? Last time I checked, it was a Pentecostal church. He promised the Holy Spirit for His mission. There's some unbelievable verses. John 14:16, right? At the table with Him, and He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." John 14:26, He says, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." John 16:7, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." And then Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria." And He doesn't stop there, until the ends of the earth. He's not just going to say you can do even greater things. He's going to say that I'm going to empower you through the power of the Holy Spirit and equip you to be my witnesses the world over. So we're not in this without any weapons. We are stocked full of what we need to be used beyond ourselves. But that's not all. I really need to be done. Even greater things happen when a body of believers are filled with the Holy Spirit and on mission for God. Nothing can stop the church when that's happening. Nothing. Doesn't matter what pandemic is on the loose. It doesn't matter what is around the corner. It doesn't matter what fear is out there. When the church is full of the Holy Spirit to overflowing and we are all on mission knowing we are called and purposed to do what God has asked us to do, nothing is going to stop it. The gates of hell will not go against that. Do we still believe that? We can do even greater things, more than what we think we can. And can I tell you what? The even greater things are meant to continue. It's never stopped. It's never stopped. It's never stopped. But just so that we can get rid of all excuses, he doesn't stop there. If you go into the next couple verses, this is what we see. And he will give you whatever you need to do the even greater things. Let's read those verses here. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. A couple of things here quick. And Shannon, if you want to come, team, come. It says we can ask in his name. Or what does that mean? Asking for something in his name means being completely aware of who he is, what he is capable of doing, and what his purposes are. If we think we lack something to accomplish the even greater works, we can ask him, and guess what he says? I will give you what you need to accomplish what needs to happen. But he also says this, and we can ask for his mission. What is the mission? To bring glory to the Father. That is the mission, to bring people to him, to lift up God, to lower ourselves. He's saying, if you are in that, if I have called you and equipped you to bring glory to the Father, and if you are on mission, you can come to me and ask for what you lack and what you don't have, and I will give to you what you need when you need it to do what I have called you and asked you to do. All excuses right now are gone. They are. But I can't. Find a little can right here, I kick it. I'm too old. Not me. I've never been educated enough. I've never been that person. Well, I mean, we can think of a million excuses, right? But can I tell you what? There are no excuses according to these verses of why we aren't just going out there and taking the gospel with us to wherever God wants us to go. That's what we are doing. We're taking the next step because God says, I'm not done with you. There's more for you. It's going to be growing. It's going to be learning. You're going to think you're inadequate, but guess what? You can come to me at any moment in time and ask for what you need and I will give it to you because you're on mission. Same thing. Do you think they needed their doubts removed? Those 12 in that room, do you think they had doubts? Well, we know there was some doubting. There was a doubting person. Put doubt in front of his name. What is it? There was doubts, right? Yet he's like, no. You can come to me if you're on mission and you are going to bring me glory, bring God glory, and bring people to me. I am going to give you what? You just have to believe it. So I share all this morning. It'll always be my 100% favorite verse. And if you've ever been in youth ministry with me, or any kind of ministry, you've heard me probably quote this verse, teach this verse. I have two or three sermons on my computer right now. I found out that I have different ways to preach this verse that have never been preached before. And that's after losing 7 years of youth ministry. I thought I had all saved on my computer. It's gone. So who knows how many sermons, but this is still true today. This should change. This verse alone should change what you believe that God can do in you. Because belief impacts behavior. So the ultimate question this morning is, who is willing to believe? Change, or just going to start to play. Here's the question. We're just going to pray here in a second. If your answer is yes, I just want you to stand. I want you to start to lift up your hands. Who is willing to believe that God can do greater things in you than what you think you can? And even greater works in these, because you're around a bunch of people who's going to make the same thing.